You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 156.
156, John. That's right. 156.
No doubt.
What more can you say? We've passed the 155 mark.
With flying colors.
Now, before we start the show, a couple of things are going on. John has Vista. And you love it, don't you?
No, and, I do. I love to stab it.
We're trying to work our way through a Skype issue.
It's got to be the worst fucking operating system in the world. They just tried to copy Apple way too much on everything, and they fall short. They failed. XP was good. I liked it. I want it back.
Yeah, what are their plans? Are they going to replace Vista? Because I have it at home. I've been using it for, I don't know, 2 months.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate it. I hate it.
Oh, dude. I am so sick of it. I've been loading software for about 2 weeks.
I had to search for something today. It took me 10 minutes just to
figure out how to do it. I know. You got to have a tutorial.
A tutorial. And then I search, and it doesn't look in the location I want it to look in. And then I can't tell if it's done searching or if it's still searching.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just crap. It's crap.
That is one big pile of
shit. I load an application and I can't find it. But when I go to programs, which is uninstall, install, and remember in the control panel, it used to be called applications.
Right.
Now it's called programs. And something else. So first of all, it takes me 10 minutes to find the freaking thing. I click on it. Oh, there's the application right there. And so I'm trying to get information about it, like where it's located. All I can do is uninstall. That's the only option I have. So I shut that down, and then I try to search for this thing, and I can't find it. I can't find it. So I eventually uninstall the application.
Uninstall.
Because I have no idea where it's at. What a joke Vista is.
It's crap.
No wonder Gates left.
Yeah, none of my programs
He left
work.
Out of embarrassment.
Yeah. I'm a PC. No, I'm a PC. I wear glasses. I'm a PC.
Fucking thing sucks.
One thing that I forgot to mention, I forgot to bring an email over to holiday, over to the post Christmas, pre New Year's special,
yeah.
John. And we got this one from Way of the Bob.
Ah.
He says, well, yet again, I've failed to, in my mission to stay awake long enough to call in live. While you are recording,
it's a good thing.
Right. It's currently 1 a.m. on Monday, which I believe is 6:45 Sunday where you are. And I just banged my head on the desk because I bobbed off to sleep while I was sat waiting. So anywho, I just wanted to wish you both, or all three of you, if we are playing that game. What does he mean by that? All the best for the new year and hope that you and yours prosper and have good health.
Right.
Take care and keep casting. That's from Way of the Bob. And it's a good thing that he did nod off there, John. One, we didn't podcast that night. And two, we still don't have Skype working.
Yeah, with Vista.
With Vista. Vista blows.
Yeah.
It just blows. Oh, he gives us two X's. Is that two kisses? X's are kisses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiss, kiss.
Yeah, see, it's coming through two sound. It's screwed up. You hear that? Oh, now we could hear the ringing.
Sounds fine to me.
You can hear the ringing now.
Who are you calling?
TP.
All right, let's try again. Maybe we woke him up with that first call.
Please leave your name and number.
You leave him a message this time.
Thanks. Bye.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up. Or press pound for more options.
Docking? Come on! Who docks?
Hey. Answer your phone or I'm sending Obama over to your house. Answer. Hello? Pick up. Can you pick up?
It's his cell phone.
Oh.
It's not like an answering machine.
Answer your phone, goddammit.
Oh, he's calling me. Hold on. Hold on.
He's calling?
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, what's up?
What's up, man? Why don't you answer your phone?
Because I'm sleeping.
Oh, did we wake you up?
Yes.
Hang up and let us call you back.
Hold on. Hey, hello?
Yes.
My cell phone battery's running dead. Can I call you back?
Sure.
I'm going to call you from a landline.
Bye.
Bye. All right, man, you're free to call TP for TP's take. Who we woke up, so we won't be very happy.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-oh.
Is that a bad?
Good sound.
Everything's fucked up, man.
What is he doing?
I don't know what's wrong
with him, man. Hang up and call him back.
Wrong.
Didn't we just tell him to pick up his phone?
Yeah.
Hang up and call him back.
What is wrong, man? What's going on with the equipment, man?
Come on, man. Uh-oh. Is that my mic?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Much nicer.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hey, TP, can you hear us?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. So we woke you up. When did you go to bed?
When did I go to bed?
Yeah.
When I got home from work.
What time was that? I need a time. Could you be more specific?
I started at 6:30 this morning.
6:30? Yeah.
I worked till 5.
And you went right to bed at 5?
Nice.
No, I worked till 5.
Oh, I see.
And I don't have time to be on this show, so we will be talking to you later.
No, wait a minute.
Come on, man.
When are we getting together for Christmas? I got your Christmas gift.
Probably, I'm not sure, but maybe on Tuesday. I think I'm off Tuesday. I'm not
Tuesday.
Sure.
Nice.
I will gladly visit you Tuesday.
I get my tooth pulled on Tuesday.
Nice.
My front tooth, I'm going to have a denture. Hey, TP, what's up? It's John.
What's up? Yes, I know, John. How are you?
All right, so now I've talked to you before about TP's take, and we really want you to be a part of this show. I don't know why you...
I'm telling you, I cannot talk right now.
You seem to be doing fine. What are you talking about? One question. Here's the first TP's take. We're doing it live. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Do it live.
What does an Obama presidency mean to you, TP?
You want to repeat that, please?
What does an Obama presidency, starting on January 20th, mean to you, TP?
Well, Mr. Scott.
Very good.
Did I get that right now?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yes.
The man will be a socialist. Thank you very much. Have a nice
socialist?
Day. That's right. That's what he wants. He wants all bigger taxes, everything else, man. More government instead of less. That's it. Got it?
I'm here. I'm just sucking it all in. You know.
All right.
Where did you hear that? Well, Rush Limbaugh or?
Look, you guys woke me up, man. So I'm going back to sleep.
He woke you up.
Hey,
it's
you've seen any
fault.
Good movies?
Huh?
Have you seen any good movies?
Not lately.
What was the last good movie you saw?
Rambo.
Rambo. The one where he went to...
And that's what is on right now, is Rambo First Blood 2.
How do you know that's on right now if you were sleeping?
Yeah, sleeping.
You sleep
liar.
With the TV on?
Because you woke me up, but it's on.
In your room?
What, do you sleep with the TV on?
Yeah, he goes to... That's what puts him to sleep. Blood and death and massacring.
That's right.
Killing the gooks.
I hope you guys had a nice Christmas and a happy new year.
We did, yeah.
Yes, and we need to get together for Christmas because I have a gift for you, Tony.
We miss you,
I haven't even given John his gift yet, and I have yours.
Really? You got me something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the way Scott plays it. Okay, let's see how much money John and Rick spent on me.
And then I'll double it.
And
then,
yeah, right.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah, that's right. You'll double it, or you just equal what we each gave you in total?
One or the other. I'm confused.
Too much math.
Well, listen, dudes, you guys have a good night.
All we right? will.
All right.
Take it easy.
Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, we will talk to you again.
Very good.
Very all good, right? sir.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Later.
Bye now.
Bye.
What's your fucking point?
All right, always that was TP's take. Always
gracious.
Warm, gracious, loving.
I mean, we woke the man up.
Yeah.
He's very gracious. Could have just hung up on us.
Very humble.
I thought he was going to hang up right after the socialist comment.
Got it? Hello? all right. Yeah, we're going to have to edit the shit out of the show to make it sound coherent.
Coherent.
Oh, I just burped in my mic foam, you know, and it stayed. It lingered in there.
Ugh.
And it smells horrible. It's horrible.
So what's going on with you, John? What's happening since the last show?
Dude, I've been drinking alcohol just constantly since Tuesday.
Really? Have you had to work?
Yeah, I worked Wednesday.
Nice.
Pulled another one out of the old ass, you know, for the company. You know what I'm saying? Pulled another one out.
I haven't had to go to work since the day before Christmas.
Yeah, that really sucks,
Eve,
man. You're going to go in, you're going to be like, wow, it looks so different.
It does, yes. It
smells different. I miss the smell.
As long as they still let me in the building, I'm good with that.
That was the speech I gave the last day of the year. I said, hey, because they were bitching because the office was going home an hour earlier than I was letting my people go.
Mm-hmm.
And they started complaining. I go, look. We're doing this so that when we come back Monday morning and go to put the key in the door, it still works. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that, man. You could have went to management, though, and said, let my people go.
No.
Like Moses.
No. I could have let them go. I'm the management, my friend. I held them there.
Right on.
I wanted to make sure we got it all done, man. We're the Just Do It crew. We do it.
Just do it, man. Just do it.
There's a saying around there. If anything can get done and it needs to get done, John gets it done.
How big is this crew?
It used to be about 34 people.
And how many of them come out to see us at the last gig?
That'd be zero.
Boy, they must really despise you. Do you tell them about it or what?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't tell
them? I don't get close to my peeps.
Oh, and so you don't want any type of...
I don't even want them knowing where I live.
Oh, okay.
I park in a different parking lot.
Do you shit in a different shitter?
Yeah.
That's nice.
No, I use the same one everybody uses.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a problem with that.
What?
I feel awkward when I walk in and like the CEO's in there.
Oh, I just piss right on them.
Oh, I'm not talking about piss. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I'm about dropping a deuce. Well, I just don't feel comfortable dropping a deuce.
I was a general contractor for our internal office building we built.
Mm-hmm.
We put in a little break room and office, two bathrooms, and then a second floor with two offices, and then a big, like, room with cubicles, big office space with cubicles. And I made sure both the bathrooms weren't, you couldn't share them. It was a one-person deal. They're huge.
Nice.
I mean, you could stretch out in there, put in some lockers for the ladies. And then the guys, you know, you lock it. I got one of those, like, dead bolts on there. You couldn't even kick the door down. The reason why I did that is because for two reasons. One, we don't have a whole lot. We have other bathrooms in the building, but we don't have a whole lot of people that you need multiple stalls. And, you know, it keeps the drug trafficking down when you don't have the multiple stall bathroom.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So nice. That's one of the reasons.
Well, this deadbolt from the inside, I don't know, that may be a problem. Like, what if somebody walks in there and they have a heart attack or somebody and something, and now you can't get to them?
What do you mean? I mean, there's lots of places that have bathrooms with the deadbolts on the door. All the stalls have
places
deadbolts.
Places of business?
Yeah. All the stalls have deadbolts on them.
Yeah, but all you need is like a quarter and you can turn it and open the stall.
Not in every place.
Most places that I see. And I think there's a reason for that.
No, you just kick the door down.
Guy walks in there, has a heart attack, his family comes and sues because you weren't able to open the door to get to him in time.
Dude, we get the door down, we drag him outside before the family even shows up.
All right. Sounds
good
to me.
Don't be putting any ideas in my employees' heads.
Hey, so now for New Year's Eve, you go to downtown DP.
Yeah, that sucked ass.
I was going to go. My daughter wasn't interested, and the day before, my son has vomiting and diarrhea, and he's had diarrhea ever since. Wow. So if he still has it on Tuesday, we got to take him in and say, hey, what's going on with him?
Yeah.
What's going on with my kid here?
He's going to get dehydrated.
And we've been making sure that he's drinking the fluids.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is there's no fever, and it's like, it's just a pain in the ass for him. Yeah. I mean, he's his normal self.
Yeah, and no pun intended, right?
No pun intended. But I guess he was holding it in for a couple of days. So this morning, he had 5 or 6 episodes, like every half hour. And each one, he would, you know, I guess he would try to pass some gas.
Yeah.
And
drawers.
That wouldn't work out too well. So we had about 5 different changes of clothes.
Oh.
Yeah. But, nice. You know, he's still all the energy in the world. And I don't know what's going on there. Huh. So we use the brat method. You know what that is?
No. What's that?
Bananas, rice, applesauce.
I think you say bananas and rats.
Toast. And toast.
Bananas, what?
Bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast.
How does that help?
This is something that I had never heard of until today. But this, my wife, when she grew up, this is what they used, the brat method. Actually, doctors don't recommend it, just the brat method. They say you need to eat a couple of other things.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's another one called Cram.
Cram.
Cereal, rice, applesauce, and something.
But what does that do? It just
solidifies. It takes away the liquidity of the diarrhea and clumps it back together.
Why not just cheese? Lots of cheese.
Cheese, yeah, that sounds good. Cheese. Well, I guess dairy's no good.
Cheese, rice, and milk.
Cheese.
Rice. A for and milk.
A for alcohol.
Alcohol.
And milk.
Applesauce. Yeah, I've been drinking straight through since Tuesday night, man. And yesterday we had a little shindig here. And Brian and his wife Jackie and their kids, they left. We get a call today that Jackie and her daughter has the stomach flu.
That's what we thought Brody had, too.
And he was on his deathbed a couple days ago. So it'll,
who, Brian?
Yeah, so it'll be running through this household.
Okay, it'll work its way.
You'll be getting it.
Oh, that's great. Interesting, I didn't get the invite to the shindig for last night.
And the wife, I put it to her. She said, no, let's just have our close friends. Okay. I told you about it.
The last time I talked to you, we talked about New Year's Eve going downtown.
Sure you didn't get the invite? I'll check with the wife. I'm sure we sent you one.
An email?
I don't know if it was email. I think it was mailed out.
In the mail?
Maybe all it right. was email. I'll check it.
All right, check, because I sure it's the first it. Time hearing of it. I knew you had a party. You know why I knew?
Why?
Because the cups are all gone, and then when I went to get ice, there's no ice in the ice maker.
No, that's because there's like a jam in there. There was a jam.
Oh, there was a jam.
Nobody went and cleared it up.
Like a big cube was made
and
it was jamming.
I heard the same thing, yeah, yesterday. Oh, there's no ice. I just checked. There was a jam and it was holding the little switch that fills the ice tray.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah. Who was at the shindig? You got Brian and Jackie. Who else makes the invite list?
And their
who else
kids,
are the close friends?
Actually, somebody from my work showed up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deirdre and Zach were supposed to come, but their kids were sick. Joe, Janelle
were here, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else was here? Marty and Phil.
Marty and Phil.
Yeah.
They came together like as a couple.
Yeah.
Phil was at our gig, but I can't remember talking to him. Did you talk to Phil at our gig?
Yeah, for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
I remember seeing him wandering around, but I never connected with a Phil, the former bass player.
See?
The bass player in Catheter.
Right.
With a K.
Now in Gene Yass.
Gene Yass.
Yeah.
Who else?
That's it.
What was the occasion?
Keith and, well, she got gifts for all of them, and they got gifts for our kids.
Oh, I see. That's why we weren't invited, because she didn't get gifts for us.
No, she didn't get...
I understand.
She didn't get gifts for one of my, the guy I work with's kid.
Which guy from work? Liam?
Oh, you're right. You're not on the email here.
Yeah, see? Told you. Hey,
Probably because you never come, that's why.
One of the things about...
She's had it with fucking inviting you.
You mentioned Keith.
Yeah.
You know, I gave Keith a lawnmower for a six-pack, I don't know how many years ago.
Yeah.
I have a snowblower, if he wants it.
He's got one.
Does he have one?
Yeah. Why, you don't blow the snow anymore?
Nah, you know, I'm into the environment, you know what I'm saying?
What is that all about?
Well, it's a gas-powered, where you got to mix the gas and the oil.
Oh, that's a shit snowblower, man. You got to get one a man snowblower.
It's a Toro.
Exactly. It's a single stage Toro.
It's cool, though, because it's got a thing you plug into the wall.
Yeah.
An electric starter.
Yeah, mine too.
It always fires right up.
Mine's an 8.5 horse man's snowblower.
Mine's like a 6 horsepower. I don't want it anymore. So if I can't give it away, I'm just going to roll it out to the curb.
You're going to shovel all that snow all the way around your house?
Yeah. That's what I've done the entire winter so far.
Wow.
December, anyway.
Why don't you just use a snowblower and be done, you know?
I just don't... I like to get out there. I like to strain my back. I like to moan about it. If I do shovel, it almost guarantees that I'll have a nap.
The snowblower's hard, too, man. You try lugging my sucker around, man. That baby's heavy.
Well, mine's got like its automatic drive, whatever.
Mine is too. It's got 5 speeds and 2 reverse.
All right. So if you know anybody who needs a snowblower, let me know. Because if I can't give it to anybody, I'm just going to wheel it out to the curb.
My next door neighbor, Jose and Nancy, they'll probably buy you a nice meal at their Mexican restaurant.
All I just need is a 6-pack. They have a Mexican restaurant? Which one? Is it around here?
Restaurant Mexico.
Where's that?
It's on Lee Street next to Dad's Slot Cars.
Oh, right. I know where that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just need a 6-pack. He can get like me a 6-pack at the Secchi's or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he could manage that.
All right, so next Sunday I'm going to bring it over.
Sunday?
Yeah, when we do the podcast. Or I could bring it Thursday.
Okay.
Now I have Rick help me unload it.
It's that heavy?
It's huge.
I thought you said it was a Toro and you had to mix the gas and the oil.
Yeah, I think you do. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I got the owner's manual. I got the plug that you plug it in.
Yeah.
Everything.
Does it work?
Yeah.
Like that lawnmower?
The lawnmower worked.
It did not, man. He had to take it in and have the carburetor replaced.
How much did that cost him?
Like $500.
Well, I should have bought a new lawnmower then. I got a 6-pack out of it.
Nice. Real cool. See? That's why I'm asking. Yeah, I'm into the environment now. So, hey, anybody want a snowblower?
that doesn't work.
That's nice. Right. Nice. I see how you are, though. You probably got a landscaper doing your property now.
No.
Yeah, I'm into the environment, so I got a guy with a big, giant snowplow blade that drags the shit off my driveway.
I shovel it. And then in the summer, I got the push mower.
Oh, that thing's a nightmare.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, unless you forget to cut, like, 2 weeks.
No.
And it's still really tall. It's
you know what the real pain in the ass is when there's a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
And the trees lose like little bits of their tree on the lawn.
You mean branches? Little bits of their tree? Or twigs or something?
Because you run over one of those things and it just locks up.
And then you go over. right into your stomach. Oof! The neighbors are like, look at that dumbass. Global warming, you fucking
no way, man.
Tree hugger.
I live on the corner, and when I mow the lawn, at least once a mowing, somebody stops and asks me where I got the lawnmower.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, they're very environmentally conscious. My neighbors.
And then they're like, well, how do you like it? Well, I hate when little bits of tree fall off and I get to run over them.
Yeah.
Little bits of tree.
The only complaint I have is I would like a little wider one. I have a very narrow one. It's European. Europe, they have very small lawns.
Actually,
I
was
going
to get one called a Newton or something? It's an electric lawnmower, but it's battery powered.
Nice.
You just charge it, and it will cut your whole lawn. It'll cut like 1,000 square feet or something of lawn. No, maybe it's more than that. Like a third of an acre, I think it is, on one charge. Am I keeping you up with that yawning over there?
I had a truncated nap today.
Truncated nap. Because I was cutting little bits of tree. You know, what do you start the fire with in the fireplace? Little bits of tree. Oh, my God.
Well, that reminds me. I've gotten several emails. People have called out Phil McCracken, Whitcomb of all people, for screw-ups. And they sent some clips back of Phil's newscast, and I forgot to bring him, but I will next show, and we'll confront Phil with those.
Nice.
Yeah. Mr. Professional Newsman, Phil McCracken Whitcomb. Right on, John.
Yeah.
So anything else?
No.
So the New Year's thing downtown sucked?
Yeah, wasn't that great.
You hook up with special ed?
Yeah.
Bring the kids.
Well, what happened was I had to do some work at home. And I screwed up. And I had to do some invoicing, you know, from remotely. And because our company is on German time, everything I invoiced on the 1st, and it was supposed to invoice on the 31st.
Oh, that is a big screw up.
So man. I had to cancel all of them manually. Yeah. So that delayed my. I was gonna get a nap in.
That delayed your partying.
Yeah,
or your rest.
My rest, my nap. Because I'm like, you know, I worked all day, and then Joe came by when I was supposed to take my nap, and I didn't get it.
You should have just hooked him up with Blu-ray, man. Said, "Hey, I'm taking a nap. Watch Blu-ray."
Well, he had his kids over.
Kids love Blu-ray.
No, his kids are like, you know, real tiny, middle, and Shannon's age.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all over the fucking place. And as soon as one of them gets hit in the face by the other, it's all out. I mean, insane. Yesterday,
they're all boys, right?
I'll tell you what, though. I think Shannon would have appreciated having Emma over yesterday.
Yeah.
Because there was one girl here. And it was Lily, who's, I don't know, 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And Shannon's, what, 12?
Mm-hmm.
So she probably would have appreciated somebody who was...
Appreciated, yeah.
Appreciated, yeah. Somebody who, you know...
When was that party last night?
Cuts little bits of tree. Yeah. Yeah. Well. I was pretty hammered. Let me tell you a little story about what I did. A couple of things. I made some Mai Tais. I made the Bri Tai. You know what a Bri Tai is? You ever have one?
Mm-mm.
When Brian used to work at the Beacon, he used to make this Bri Tai for us. And it's basically dark rum, light rum, Chambord, and fruit juice. Okay?
Okay.
And it's awesome. It tastes like a lifesaver, like a grape lifesaver. But you can't tell there's so much alcohol in it. I mean, he puts a ton in there. So I tried to duplicate that, and I did like this big like gallon jug, and I filled it with like a third of dark rum, a third of light rum, a splash of Chambord, and then fruit juice, and shook it up.
So it's 66%.
Yeah, rum. Right. And I'm drinking it. Everybody's drinking it. They're like, whoa, man, I'm really getting a buzz here. And I'm talking to somebody, and, you know, it's got a button on the front of this jug. And you hold the button down, and the stuff squirts into your glass. You hold your glass underneath. Well, I wasn't paying attention, and I'm pressing the button down, thinking I got it right under. And it's squirting all over the floor. Just squish. And wife's like, what are you doing?
And you're talking to somebody while you're doing this?
Oh, shit. So I cleaned that mess up. Then about, this thing started at 4 o'clock. And Joe, he never leaves until it's about midnight. So they're here with their kids. Their kids are completely unruly. They're, you know, crabby and tired and flipping out and... the wife says, hey, can you make me one of those Mai Tais? I said, sure, but I was out of it, so I had to make one by hand, you know. So I made a glass full of it. And you know that blue cup you have there?
Yes.
You notice it's really flexy in the middle?
Yes.
Well, I used that as
kind of chintzy almost.
Yeah, I used that as a shaker top for another cup. And I'm like I'm a bartender. Over by my ear, right? And to think, and I squeezed the blue one too hard, and it exploded. It literally, I mean, there was Mai Tai all over the window, the floor, in the stove, ice cubes flying
everywhere. Anybody witness that?
No.
Nobody witnessed
it. No, I had it cleaned up before anybody saw it. Dude. I was doused, but I was so hammered, man. And I'm trying to balance, you know, cleaning it up. And as soon as they left, I went right to bed. So I've been drinking, I'm still drinking. I have been drinking since Tuesday.
Since Tuesday. And it's Sunday.
I mean, martinis and beer and margaritas and Mai Tais and you name it.
Mai Tais.
I even bought Red Bull for Red Bulls and vodka. Unbelievable. Yeah.
It's out of sight.
So hopefully this is the last party.
Until summer?
Jesus Christ. We've had like four or five of them.
Your gracious hosts who enjoy the company of
it's mostly
friends.
No, it was all family, all these other ones. Except for this last one. I don't know why you didn't come.
I just found out about it right now.
Oh. It's probably because, you know, I've been invited to so many of your daughter's birthday parties.
Right. That's probably it.
And sons. Been invited to so many at your house. Oh, yeah, we had a Christmas party. You did? Well, I didn't get it. Oh, yeah, it was just family.
Yeah, it's just family.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. I did invite you. Rick even remembers.
When? To last night's
last
thing?
Last practice, yeah.
No, you didn't.
I said, yeah, come on.
It's on tape then.
At practice,
dig it out, yeah.
Yeah, I will.
All right. It's your homework.
Yeah.
Evidence. Because that's what we rely on. Evidence, John. We base our reality on evidence. Not on fairy tales.
Right.
That's right.
Straight.
All right, you want to get into it then?
What?
You know, our format, our template.
Well, what did you do, man, for the last 10 days?
Me? Nothing. I just stayed home.
Since Tuesday.
I hung curtains. I played ping pong. Cleaned up the garage, the basement. Hung Alpha in the garage.
Alpha?
Yeah. There's the annual Alpha sale at the container store.
What is that? Oh. Cleaned up little bits of tree.
Took the dogs over to the high school, had them run around.
Nice, nice.
The son's been sick for a week. Yeah, that's
yeah.
about it.
Nice. Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm depressed, though. Today we took down the Christmas lights in front. I did.
Yeah.
I'm really depressed now.
Why?
Because it's all over.
Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was over like a week ago.
I know, but I...
Christmas Day, I had the Christmas tree out on the driveway.
What?
Yeah.
What? What kind of a fucking Scrooge are you, man, Mr. Grinch?
We put it up the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
On the Friday, and it was up all month, so I got it out of there.
Oh, I see.
We still have the lights up outside, though. I was supposed to take those down today.
Oh, see?
I'll probably do that tomorrow.
Tomorrow, aren't you working, or are you off still?
No, I'm working.
Oh.
But, you know, I'll be home at 2. I'll take them off.
That sucks, man. That really sucks. No, yeah, I took them down, and I don't know what it is. I look forward to the tradition. You know, although the whole time I'm bitching. I'm complaining about getting this, getting that, the wife shopping too much and spending too much money. You know, we're not eating at home. We're eating out every single night, and got to get the lights up, got to get the tree up, and luckily we don't buy one. We, you know, we have a fake one.
Fake one, right, right.
But, and I like driving around and seeing other people's stuff, what they do. But now it's over, you know? I mean, it's the whole build-up to the one day, and then it's over. But you still got a little week left to wean yourself off of it, and then always the day, well, usually the day or weekend after when we do this friend present exchange with our closest friends.
Right, the closest ones, yes.
The ones that come when we invite them to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then I take them down, and it's kind of depressing. So,
yeah, I don't get depressed about it. What depresses me is January and February.
Well, that too, because then it really gets cold and it starts snowing
cold.
Like fucking crazy.
Sun's never out. It's
yeah.
Sets at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Just right. Blows.
Right.
It blows.
Blows ass.
What's your fucking point?
All right, so what did you want to do? Get into it?
Well,
do
I start school on Tuesday, John.
Oh,
I'm
Jesus,
going back
here we
and
go.
I got the perfect 4.0. I'm going to try to continue that. And,
yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
Really?
Me, Marty, and
yeah.
Phil, and Brian.
Nice. Talking about my 4.0?
Yeah, Scott the genius. Mr. Elitist. Genius.
Elitist?
Yeah.
How does that fall into there?
Smarmy.
Elitist. Smarmy, arrogant,
genius,
elitist.
Arrogant. Yeah.
Well,
exactly. All of the above.
If I'm a common man like Marty,
yeah,
I'm willing to put up with some smarminess and arrogance to be in the presence of genius.
Douchebag. Unbelievable. But what do you do with it? Nothing. Just you'd rip on people an American Science Daily who never even listened to the show.
New Scientist.
Whatever. New Scientist and people on the forum. Ooh.
Oh, that's not true. I exchanged ideas on the forum.
Scott's got a 4.0. Look out. He might actually change a tire.
If there's an instruction manual.
Right.
Right.
Or you probably grade the grammar on it.
All right, John. Let's get to the Yeah. The template.
Speaking of religion, I forgot to ask you, did you get anything from Santa?
Santa?
Yeah, because that's what Christmas is all about, Jesus Christ. You didn't get any gifts this year?
I'm getting gifts. I got gifts, yeah.
Are you making fun of me?
I got gifts from you.
Right, yeah. That's right. Nothing from Santa?
No, nothing from Santa.
Because that's what it's about, Jesus Christ.
Why do you say Santa?
I don't know.
In Jesus Christ. All right.
Give me a fucking break, Michael. All right, you know what? We need to start going to church every week. I've had it with us.
I don't believe in God.
Bullshit. You got yourself confirmed, and you said to the bishop.
Yeah, but a lot can happen. You can think.
Well, a lot can happen. All of a sudden, you can just quit believing in God?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there is no God.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. You want to know there's no God? Then you're going to get absolutely nothing. Nothing for Christmas, because that's what Christmas is about, is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
No, it's not okay, Michael. It is not okay.
You're getting nothing for Christmas, Scott, because that's what Christmas is about, Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's what it's about.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
One of the podcasts that I listen to is Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
Yeah. Jason Lee, Kirstie Alley, Mimi Rogers.
No, I haven't heard the...
Jenna Elfman.
The latest episode, but I guess they named the top 10 douchebags of 2008. I haven't heard it yet, but
John,
I went to the
Scott.
Website. So they've... they did a post for the number one douchebag of 2008, according to the Skeptic's Guide. Having a guess who that is? Douchebag for 2008. It's a woman. A woman.
Ann Coulter?
Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy? Really?
Is the worst skeptical douchebag of 2008 for her anti-vaccination efforts. McCarthy decided that her son Evan's autism was caused by vaccines because she had heard the rumors and her mommy instinct told her it was
right.
She then confirmed her beliefs by attending Google University's confirmation bias program. McCarthy is too arrogantly ignorant to appreciate the depths of her own ignorance. She feels that her mommy instincts and her dabblings on the interwebs were enough to trump the consensus of expert opinion built on numerous high-quality studies that shows there is no link between vaccines and autism. Well, no problem. Her instincts can't be wrong, so all those doctors, scientists, and public health servants must be corrupt and evil. So confident that she was right and the scientific community was wrong, stupid, and evil, she decided to go on a campaign to tell the world that the sky was falling. She wrote a couple of books, took the reins of an anti-vaccine movement, organized a Green R Vaccines rally, and went on as many talk shows as she could spread her hard-won wisdom. She does have a lot of energy. I have to give her that. Of course, the combination of dangerous stupidity, overconfidence, zeal, and the millions of dollars is a pernicious one. Pernicious?
Pernicious.
I predict we are nowhere close to seeing the end of Jenny McCarthy's mistress. So she is voted the Skeptic's Guide 2008 douchebag of the year.
She's dating who?
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Who just gave her $50 million.
To do what?
For this anti-vaccination stuff.
He's fucking retarded.
That is retarded, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Unbelievable.
What I wonder what he really thinks. I mean, does he buy into it and he gives it? Oh, I'm assuming he buys into it. He gives her $50 million.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, what he? Yeah.
But I'm wondering if he just puts up with it, you know, because he's getting it. You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
John?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She must give a hell of a BJ, man, for $50 million.
Speaking of BJs, John. I don't know if you've heard this, but following his arrest last week, Charles Barkley told Arizona cops, Charles Barkley, of course, the Phoenix Suns, he played on the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
The fuck you win?
The Olympic team.
Start sucking.
Told Arizona cops that he ran a stop sign because he was in a hurry to pick up a girl who had given him a blowjob 1 week earlier. which the former NBA star described as one of the best ones he'd ever had in his life.
Man.
According to the Gilbert Police Department report, the copy of which you'll find here, police asked Barkley where he was going at 1:26 a.m. in Scottsdale.
Man, to get a blowjob.
You want the
man.
Truth? I was going to drive around the corner and get a blowjob, answered Barkley, who is pictured in the mugshot on a website.
A mugshot for speeding?
A cooperative Barkley also joked with the civilian police employee that I'll tattoo your name on my ass.
Ah, nice.
If it would get him out of the DUI charge. Barkley, 45, busted after failing field sobriety tests and had blood drawn so investigators could establish his alcohol content.
No doubt.
He was cited for a misdemeanor charged and misdemeanor charge. Here's what I don't get. And released at the scene. What does that mean? They let him back in his car?
Yeah, go ahead, man. You're really drunk, but you could probably drive.
Thus avoiding a trip to county jail. Barkley, now a basketball commentator on TNT, was elected the NBA Hall of Fame in 2006. He had a 16-year NBA career,
wow,
which included an MVP award and a spot on the 92 Olympic basketball squad.
Wow.
That's right, John. Nice. That ends celebrity news. We're going to segue celebrity into science.
Science.
It's kind of a combo celebrity science story, John. Then we're going to talk about movies. Movies, John.
Nice.
Science news. I only have one science story today, John. And it's about Mariah Carey. You're probably thinking to yourself, how can Mariah Carey be in science news?
Right. I'm confused.
Mariah Carey hates facts, John. At least that's what scientists are saying about her choice to use the famous equation E equals MC squared as her latest album title.
Okay.
The do-gooding cabal, a do-gooding cabal of scientists who advocate reason and research. According to them, Mariah grossly misunderstood Einstein's theory when she said E equals MC squared equals emancipation equals Mariah Carey times two.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Emancipation E equals Mariah Carey MC times two.
I see.
But as a mathematician, Dr. David Leslie replied, with one finger waving and the other pushing up his glasses, the two in the equation means C squared, not times two. So it's not Mariah Carey multiplied by two. The correct reading of the equation is E equals MCC. So perhaps Mariah's reinterpretation should have been emancipation equals Mariah Carey Carey. There's something incredibly comforting about the fact that she doesn't know what E equals MC squared stands for. The last thing this world needs is another big-boobed maniac with their hands on a cosmic definition.
Nice.
Yeah, there you have it. Science news. Mariah Carey, dumb as all get out.
Dumb is all get out.
And that's
going
to lead right into movies. Movies, John.
Well, what about Andrew's Minute?
Well, let me get to movies. I got a perfect segue to movies.
All right.
Have you seen any movies?
Yeah.
What'd you see?
I saw Bedtime Stories.
With Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's okay. That guy cannot act.
The wife liked it.
Yeah, it's got a nice little, you know, if it was acted better.
Acted better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By somebody, anybody else but Adam Sandler.
Anybody else.
Yeah, anybody.
Marty. You can see Marty in that role.
Marty totally would have done a better job. You know, it was a great story. I mean, it was a touching story, but.
Did you cry?
No.
No. Of course not.
But the family went and saw Marley and Me, and I did not.
You went by yourself to see Bedtime Stories?
No, I went with the son and the wife, and then yesterday they went and saw Marley and Me, and I stayed home.
Marley and Me still tops at the box office. How about that?
The daughter was crying even when she got home.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the wife said, the book is sadder. I cried a little bit. I said to Shannon, could you tell if anybody else was crying? My wife said, no, there's no way she could tell because she was crying so loud.
What about your wife? Did she say that the entire theater was?
Yeah, she said the entire theater. She was up to her ankles in tears.
That's the experience that I had.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't see a movie like that because then I'd be doing it too. Although I didn't have a daughter that laughed. Dad, everybody's crying. What's up with that?
Yeah, that's my daughter for you. Yeah.
That's how she deals with it, though.
Yeah.
Probably.
Because she cries about other dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, for example, she wants the Sims game. Sims.
Yeah.
You know what Sims is?
Yeah, daughter plays it 24/7.
Which one does she play?
I don't know.
Sims. So she's bugging me about Sims.
Yeah.
Sims. And I didn't get it for Christmas. And she kept bugging me, and we were in Target one day for something.
Don't let her use your computer. You better get her own.
19 times.
Yeah.
I said, put the damn thing back. And she didn't listen to me. I said, hey, if I got to tell you one more time, you're not going to like the consequences. And that finally got her to put it back.
And really? Because I would have challenged you on that. I want to know what they are. What are they?
Well, what I explained to her later was, here's the deal. there is no way in hell I'm going to reward your behavior.
That behavior.
For getting you a game and rewarding your constant nagging and whining and total irritation. It's ruining my entire day. I'm not going to reward that behavior. So
did you hold her down in like the submissive role? What do they call it? The alpha role?
No. But eventually, so she almost matured overnight after that conversation. The next morning, she's helping with the dog. She even mucked the yard.
Right, because you said reward.
Reward.
You're not going to reward that behavior, but there's got to be some behavior you're going to reward.
Right. So she did turn that around and was just really helpful because we've been nagging at her. I mean, you got to help around the house. You're almost goddamn 12 years old. You need to start putting your own dishes away and shit like that.
Yeah.
And she turned it around. So like 3 days straight, and she didn't ask for this thing once. She didn't whine or complain. So I get her this game, right?
Yeah.
I surprise her with the game. We get it loaded. And she's playing it for like two hours.
Is it on your computer?
No, it's on the computer downstairs.
Oh, okay.
So she's playing it for 2 hours, and she comes over, and she's crying. I'm like, Emma, what are you crying about? What's wrong? And
the dog in it by
well, no,
car.
The basic thing was the game wasn't what she thought it would be.
Oh.
So she's sorry that she put me through all that shit. To get this game that she doesn't even want.
Oh.
And she's crying about it. I'm like, hey, just relax, all right? Don't worry about it. That's why you should make friends with people who have games, and then you borrow it from them. You see how that works?
Yeah.
That was my fatherly advice.
Right. You steal it. You steal the game. You get the game, and you pirate it. You copy it. And then you don't
and
have to.
And then you know if you like
then
it or not.
I don't
if you
have
don't
to
like
fucking
it.
Fucking buy it.
If you don't like it. Then
go over
you
to
know,
John's house. He's got tons of shit.
Then you just delete
copy.
It. Yeah. So she has continued her behavior, though. She's still becoming a tremendous help around the house.
Nice.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Can you talk to my daughter about that?
I don't know if you can. I think you can talk to kids about it. And it, from a kid's perspective, it just becomes nagging. I really think there's some self-reflection that has to be involved, and I don't think you can make a kid do that.
No.
So I feel very fortunate, and if it continues, wow. I mean, this is going to be great, but who knows?
Yeah.
She'll go back to school tomorrow, and who knows? She might revert back to...
Well, when you get her the cell phone, and she starts texting.
Oh, no. You know, we saw this movie, Netflix movie. With Ashley Tisdale.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the name of this dumb movie. But what it was is this, her father didn't trust her.
Yeah.
So he got her a cell phone with video capability.
Right.
So he would call her every half hour, and she would have to show him what she was doing.
Yeah.
And then she gets in this intricate thing about this boy, and she's got to fabricate that she's studying with her friends, but she's really out partying.
Yeah.
So I just kept kind of reinforcing that if you do get a phone, I'm going to be like that dad. You're going to get a call from me every half hour, so you don't want one of those. Besides, all your friends have one, so if you ever needed one, yeah, you just ask them.
You're going to lose that battle.
If it's
Sorry.
An emergency.
Sorry. Nice try.
Does your daughter have a cell phone?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
What age did she get it?
We gave her one at 10.
Yeah, she's 11.
It was Amigo.
She might get one when she's 16.
As soon as she gets into junior high, man, it's all over.
So far, so good.
It's all over.
You know, every once in a while she would say, hey, Dad, give me a cell phone. But since we saw this movie, she hasn't asked once.
But once she's hanging out with her friends and they all have them and she doesn't have one, it's going to be peer pressure. It's going to be like pot. You know, you're not cool unless you have a cell phone.
Maybe cell phones are the gateway to pot.
That's right.
You know, because pot's the gateway to every other hard drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Pot is the gateway to cell phones. You start doing the weed first.
All right, so the other movies I saw, John, Mariah Carey, who we talked about in Science News, was in one of the movies I saw.
Yeah.
Do you know what that was?
No.
Let me see my movie notes. That's right, John.
How do you see all these movies, man?
I'll tell you. We get the Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And then I run over to that Redbox, the vending thing.
Yeah.
And I get movies. And then I have the Comcast cable without the filter so I can view what other people are viewing.
Yeah, but these are all R-rated, aren't they?
Not all of them. It's after the kids go to bed.
So 10 o'clock at night?
Even after that. Like my wife and I will watch a movie. She'll fall asleep, and then I'll continue watching movies on Comcast where the neighbors...
Till 1 or 2 in the morning?
Yeah, till like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Oh, my God, dude. Wow.
So if
that's right, you don't work.
If I had come
even when you're working.
If I had come to your party yesterday, I wouldn't have seen.
Yeah, see. That's what I was thinking of.
I wouldn't have seen You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
It's pretty funny that you say if I had come to your party, which you wouldn't have because every time
I didn't
time
get invited. That's what I meant.
It doesn't matter. Even when you're invited, you don't show.
Oh, I would have been here.
Yeah,
Em and I would have been here. We had nothing going on. Nothing.
You show up when we're like running out the door. Hey, what's up? Are you doing anything? I'm on my way over. What's up? We're actually at a restaurant.
My son was sick. My son was sick, so Em and I would have come over. We had nothing to do. Absolutely
can
nothing.
You put my headphones in the mailbox and in my ring.
So because
I
failed to get an invite to your party, I was able to see You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Great.
John?
That's
Have
great.
You seen that one?
Yeah, I can imagine that you would risk, you know, giving up sleep.
Have you seen that
to
one?
Watch. No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. I would never get the DVD, but I happened to be scanning through the channels, and somebody in my neighborhood was watching it.
Yeah. Somebody in your neighborhood?
I didn't catch the very beginning. I caught it right when Zohan shows up in New York, so I don't know how much of it I missed.
I want to be good to the environment and chop up the tree bits, but I'm stealing the neighbor's cable.
It's
and
not
I tell
stealing.
My kids to borrow other people's
like
video
voyeurism.
Games and copy them. And if you don't like it, delete it.
Anyway, this is about an Israeli Special Forces soldier played by Adam Sandler, who fakes his death so he can reemerge in New York as a hairstylist. I got to tell you, this is one of the worst fucking things I've ever seen. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just fascinated by these bad movies because somebody reads the script. Somebody has to invest in it. They have to get a bunch of people that are going to work on it.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Did Rob Schneider make a guest appearance?
Yes. Rob Schneider was one of the best parts of the movie.
Just like in the bedtime stories.
He played Salim. He played an Arab.
Did he say, you can do it?
Apparently, Adam Sandler, as Zohan, had just finished a mission, and he was walking back through the Gaza Strip, and he runs into Rob Schneider as Salim, and they get in an argument, and Salim spits in Zohan's face, so he ties him up in a pretzel and steals his goat. So then they're both back in New York, and Salim is a cab driver, and he recognizes him. And he gets his friends together, and they try to take him out.
Fuck him up, yeah.
Yeah, they try to fuck him up.
But don't mess with the Zohan, man.
Don't mess with the Zohan. So the thing, so he's working really hard. He ends up going to a Palestinian hairstylist and pretending that he's Australian to get the job. He's sweeping floors. And he finally gets his big break when one of the hairstylists calls in sick. And his specialty is older women, John.
Ah.
And not only does he do their hair, he takes them in the back and he
does them.
Yes, he does them.
Oh, Jesus.
So word gets around and every old woman in New York is lining up at this hairstylist to get some of the Zohan, right?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's unbelievably ridiculous. It's so stupid. It's dumb. But I did laugh at a couple of parts.
Did you?
He saves this guy's life. And the guy is so grateful, he invites him home to have dinner. And the guy lives with his mom.
Unlike your invite.
He's like 35, lives with his mom. So after dinner, the kid walks in on Zohan banging his mom. So whoever played that guy, it's like a 35-year-old guy. He was, to me, he was the funniest guy in the movie. He had the best lines and the best reactions to everything. But John Turturro's in it. Turturro.
Really?
He plays the Phantom. And apparently Zohan and the Phantom had a thing back in the Middle East. And now they're both in New York. But it's really goddamn dumb. I mean, it's so dumb. It's like, John, you and I should write Adam Sandler's next movie.
Yeah.
Because it could be the dumbest thing on the face of the earth.
As long as Rob Schneider's in it.
And somebody will make it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah, he says that in every movie.
I can't remember it in this movie, but I was just in awe of the stupidity of this movie.
Yeah. It
got a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Co-writer Robert Smigel revealed that the movie was mostly written in the year 2000, but it was delayed after 9/11 due to the terrorist themes in the film.
Right, right.
I think they should have delayed that movie forever.
They should have forever delayed.
It's awful. Awful.
Horrible.
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 The other movie I saw, John, the starring Daniel Craig. My wife has a thing for Daniel Craig. So I'm at the Red Box, and I see that Daniel Craig is in this movie, so I rent it, and I bring it home. And it's called Flashback of a Fool. And it's about Daniel Craig, who's a fading Hollywood star, looking back at the days of his youth as he returns home for his best friend's funeral, right? So this guy's a washed-up celebrity. He's got an alcohol problem. First 20 minutes is present day. The next hour and 20 minutes is a flashback to his youth, right?
Yeah.
And then the final 10 minutes is the wrap up back in present day, current. The movie's slower than hell. But it's good. I liked it. It gives me a, you know, we talk about like a Britney Spears or whoever we talk about in celebrity news. These people are fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, they are totally fucked up. And at least with this fictional character that Daniel Craig plays, when you see him go back to his youth, you can tell why he's completely fucked up.
Yeah.
As an adult. Just a real heart-wrenching story as a youth.
A Ute.
That got 6.7 out of 10 there, John. He made that after Casino Royale and before Quantum of Solace.
My father-in-law was here, and he kept calling it Quantum of Silence. Could be because he's deaf. I don't know. Yeah, did you see that movie, Quantum of Silence? I thought it was great.
The other movie?
Yeah.
Last movie I saw, it's got a 6.6 out of 10, was Hancock. Hancock. You saw Hancock, John, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked the first hour of Hancock. Yeah. I liked the first hour, and then the second hour, like, what the?
Yeah.
What
movie is this?
What is this? What movie is this?
Where did this movie come from?
A hard-living superhero who has fallen out of favor with the public enters into a questionable relationship with the wife of a public relations professional who's trying to repair his image. Of course, Will Smith, Charlize Theron, and Jason Bateman.
Right.
Yeah. Really not much to say about that.
I know.
I guess it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of money. But is anybody going to watch that in 5 years?
No, they changed it. Originally, he was having an affair with the chick.
Nice.
In the original story. But they the Hollywood dumbed it down and put that other twist on it.
You know who was up for the part before Will Smith?
No.
Dave Chappelle.
Great.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle.
It's out of sight.
So that's all I saw, movies.
No doubt.
I can't recommend really any of those, can I?
No, I don't think
so. No, not really.
No.
I mean, if you like really slow, heart-wrenching movies, Flashbacks of Fool is for you.
Oh, you know what I did, though? I bought a brand new Sony 7.1 surround receiver.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it installed?
Yeah.
And can you tell the difference?
That's fucking great because you got the HDMI inputs and then...
I have no idea what that means.
HDMI, the digital video to the flat screen.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about that. So in February, John, everybody's switching over to digital.
Right.
So I have Comcast.
Yeah.
But they're trying to sell me this box.
Right.
What do I need this box for? If everything's going to be digital, why do I need a box?
I don't know. If you get certain channels, certain movie channels in that, maybe. You tell me. I don't know. What
I have
are they
no
telling
idea.
You?
They what said they I need it.
Who's they?
People at Apt. And not only do I need this box, I need the $75 cable that goes from the box to the TV.
Oh, at Apt. They're telling you need a conversion box to convert an analog signal to digital.
No, no, no. I was in there talking to them about a LCD high-definition television.
Right.
And in my conversation, they said, well, do you have Comcast? Yes. Well, you're going to need this box, this high-definition box.
Bullshit.
Why do I need that? And you're going to need this $75 cable to hook up the box to the TV.
Yeah, if you're... No. No. Because Comcast is pushing high-def stuff through the cable right now.
Right. So I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What they're talking about is if you... I don't know.
I understand if you have an analog TV, you need a conversion box. But what it sounded like to me from their conversation was... Well, if you have the premium package where you get the movie channels and stuff, you're going to need this box to get true high definition. If you don't have this, you're just going to get like DVD. You're not going to get the Blu-ray quality.
Yeah, That could be.
That's a complete scam.
No, that could be.
Why don't they just push out the highest quality?
They do, but you might need a box to translate to the true high def, which your TV can display, which is 1080p. But the thing is that they don't broadcast anything in 1080p. It's all 720p. And right now, I'm already getting the local channels through the Comcast cable. You got to just type in a different number, like for channel 5, instead of 5, you put in 5.1.
Yeah. Right.
But... as far as HD, you have to have a box for premium channels that are broadcast in HD. But you don't use their box. You use the fucking box from Comcast.
Right.
Which is like $5. But yeah, you have to run an HDMI cable to your television or the component video. But to get true HD, you have to have an HDMI cable.
I see.
Which is the $75 cable.
I see.
They don't cost that much, though. You can pick them up at Radio Shack or somewhere else
for
cheaper, for like $30, and even $15 on places online. They want to sell you a monster cable that is gold tipped on either side, and
that's a bunch of shit.
You know, but you don't really need that.
It's all a scam.
Because the signal is usually buffered in your TV, mm-hmm. so there's a slight delay so that you don't lose any picture.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's an interruption or any pixelization, unless it lasts more than a second, there's like a buffer in there. So it doesn't matter. It should be fine with any cable just about. I use just regular HDMI cables. But yeah, I got the Sony, which will give me 3 HDMI in, 1 HDMI out. So I do all the switching right there on the receiver. No more switching device. I have an HDMI switcher like I do down here. I have a component switcher, which whenever I turn on a device like the Wii, the DVD player, the cable box, or the PlayStation 2, it automatically switches to that device. So I only have one output going to the television. So I don't have to switch all the different inputs on the TV, you know, like TV1, TV2, VCR, all that shit.
All right, and that was DVD. Tech Talk with John and Scott, which completely went over my head. I still don't know what you mean.
I think I got it from smarthome.com or partsexpress.com, and it's awesome. It's powered, and as soon as it realizes or registers that one of your components is on, it automatically switches to that component's output, and then it feeds it right into the one single television input. You can do the same with HDMI. I have an HDMI switcher that does it also.
Wow. And so you set that up by yourself?
Fucking A, man. Have you seen the shows I set up? I let Rick watch Rick and watch Rick do it his way.
Right,
until
right.
You go, dude, man, do you know, is he doing it right? No, he's not doing it right. But he wants to do it this way. He wants to try it, he said.
I don't understand why we just don't have a manual for how we just set it up. And it's we always set it up that way.
Well, there's only one way to set it up that actually will work with that crossover without any problems with phasing. So, and we've tried it 10 different ways, and there's only one way that it works in stereo. Every time we do it, boom, it sounds fucking fantastic. The problem is that we're not always making sure the mute buttons are undepressed, and because we don't have covers for the rack when you lift them up into the van, you press all the buttons.
What's the difference between pressed and depressed? Because you said undepressed, and I'm confused.
Did I say
by
undepressed, or did I say unpress?
Unpress. You said undepressed, which would be pressed, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't remember saying undepressed, but yeah. Anyway.
All right, then.
Let's have a rave. Should we get on to Andrew's Minute?
We're not going to take a break?
I don't have anything to take a break with.
Let's do it then. Andrew's Minute. I'll take my break here.
What do you mean? What are you going to do?
I'll just, you know, take my break while you're playing Andrew's Minute.
Pissing that
cup. Isn't there like 3 of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew's Minutes.
Well, I can load them into the clip player so that it just plays them consecutively.
No, we have to be able to pause, right? We want to address each one as he after he plays them, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yes,
all right.
Of course.
Here we go.
Whoa! Can you guess what's in it?
Whoa!
Andrew's Minute. Nazis every day. Cause he did it.
Limey fuck!
I did that for him.
John and Scott. Catholic schools and Muslims wanting facilities in them. Let's get some numbers right first. There are 30% or so of people who are not Catholic attending Catholic schools. But that includes non-believers, Jews, and any other religion. It isn't 30% Muslims. Secondly, you need to know that state schools in London and other urban areas are crap. Catholic-run schools have better academic results. I don't know why that is, but they do. So I, as an atheist, am happy to send my son to a Catholic primary school so that he'll get a better education. I can't afford to send him to a fee-paying school, but at least he'll get a good education and I can tell him how stupid the whole fairy tale of God is when he's at home. In fact, I could just get him to listen to John and Scott at TTN. Job done. As for these schools spending money on religious facilities, that I do object to. That money should be spent on books, preferably science books.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I guess...
Now, I'm wondering, so here it's a little different because a Catholic school you have to pay for,
right.
Fee-paying school, you have to pay as you said. It. And we have public schools, and there was a study some years ago, because I got in an argument with a guy about it, that they found that there is no difference between public schools and privately run religious schools. The outcome as far as academics is the same. And he had said to me that the reason why he never sent his kids to public school is because, which is a state-run school, was because they didn't care enough about their kids.
Hmm. Well, I think the big difference is I knew that the Catholic Church was sponsored by the state in England, and that's why you see not as much participation in the Catholic Church is because it's a government-sponsored entity, where here it's not. So the Catholic churches have evolved this marketing and this selling of a service, and that's why there's so many different variations of churches in America is because it's not state-sponsored. So I guess that state sponsorship goes down to the school level, where even that's state-sponsored. But so I guess if it's sponsored by the state and it's free of charge to send your kid to a Catholic school, and statistically you have better results, whoa.
Sorry.
At a Catholic school than you do at...
My cans are so loud.
At the public school. Yeah, I guess you'd send them to Catholic school,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to a Limey I work with who said, his parents are, his dad is like a deacon or something or a preacher, and he's kind of fallen out of faith some years ago. But he went to Catholic schools, and he said a lot of kids go to Catholic schools that are atheists and Jewish and all that stuff. He said we do religion a little different in the UK than you do it here.
Nice.
So, okay, here's the second one. Scrooge McGrinch, it's titled.
John and Scott, Merry Christmas. This is my Christmas Scrooge McGrinch minute. I think we overindulge our children at Christmas. Do you agree? I read an article about a father whose 11-year-old son complained about last year's Christmas tree. So this year he bought a tree bigger than his house, chopped it into three sections, put one section in the living room, one in the bedroom, and one on the roof. So it looked as though the tree had burst through all of the house and out of the roof. The 11-year-old was delighted. I think that's an amazing example of complete overindulgence. We overindulge our children, and I have battles with my wife about it. Obviously, I lose. This year, we must be spending £50 to £100 on each of our 3 and 5-year-olds, and they'll get 2 or 3 times that again from their grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. So what is that? $500 or $600 each on a 3 and a 5-year-old at Christmas?
Wow.
Completely insane. Do you agree? Do you do the same for your children? You limit your children's Christmas presents. Or am I just the Christmas Scrooge Grinch?
I'm bringing my kids to his place, man. $600 a pop? Whoa.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I don't think we spend that much for the two kids.
The whole family.
Yeah, for the whole family.
Wow.
For the whole family. Let me think about the whole... Yeah, maybe the whole family tops in around 600.
I do agree there's some weird pressure. I work with some people that really count on this bonus every year.
Yeah, Clark Griswold.
Yeah, they count on the big bonus. And in Clark Griswold's world, he makes a point of stating when it's part of a person's salary or when people have this expectation because it's the policy of the company to give them out every year. But most companies usually say, hey, we're going to do it this year. We're not even sure we'll do it next year. We're lucky to be able to have it. Next year might be a different story. They give a nice letter that says why we were able to get it. Where did we find, you know, the money or whatever? Thanks for everybody's hard work. And every year I'm like, I'm telling people there will be a year when we get zip. Okay. Understand that. Understand that the bonuses are tied to the amount of profit that a company makes. And if they don't accrue for it ahead of time, and they can't meet that accrual or whatever, however they do it, you're going to get nothing. So start doing this. Something my wife did some years ago. She does like a Christmas club account and she puts $20-$50 a paycheck in this account. And then at Christmas, right just before Thanksgiving, she takes it out. And that's the money for Christmas. That's the Christmas club account. And that money is just for gifts and the family dinner and all that stuff. So, and that's because you never know if you're going to get that bonus or whatever. But these people count on it. And you should have seen the sullen faces. When I told him, I said, look, I'm pretty sure this year there's going to be nothing. But we worked our fucking asses off. Well, the company's declined in profits like 26%. It's not like the people that at the top. The people at the top get their bonuses based on how much of the profit margin they meet. So, yeah, they get a nice fat salary, but they don't. 50% of their salary ends up being the bonus, so they don't get that 50%. Now, I'm not talking about these companies that we hear in the news where, you know, they're making $50 million a year and, oh, they only got $25 million, you know. But in a way, it's kind of the same. But they count on this, and I'm like, well, what's going to go on? What happens if you don't get it? Oh, I guess I got to tell the kids, no Christmas for them this year. Well, they're going to say, well, Santa makes the toys. So what are you going to tell them? That Santa closed up shop because of the economy? I'm like, you got to think ahead. You know that Christmas is going to come. If it's really that important, I think you got to start thinking about, you know, not making it so much about the gifts.
Right.
And we try to do that, but, you know.
It needs to be about Jesus. Everybody knows that.
No, the gifts are about Jesus Christ. Jesus. Didn't you hear this woman? Because that's what Christmas is about.
Right.
You're not getting any presents this year because that's what Christmas is about, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, there's a prerequisite there. You got to believe in the Jesus.
Prerequisite?
Yeah, prerequisite.
Prerequisite.
You got to believe in the Jesus to get the gifts.
So, yeah, I could see how it gets into excess, and sometimes it's about my friends got this and you don't want them to feel they're the poor kids in the neighborhood or something, you know. But I'm like, you know what, my daughter wanted these boots that all the kids have that are like 125 a pair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we said no way, we'll get you something that's similar to them if you want, but you're not getting the fucking 125 ones.
Nice.
Forget it. It was like me wanting my first Doc Martens, man. I like saved up for those way over expensive pieces of shit.
Oh, I love Doc Martens.
I hate those fucking shoes.
I love them.
No arch support, nothing. They got nothing. They got to be the worst shoe ever made.
I disagree. I completely disagree.
There's no arch support in those pieces of shit.
My arches are fine. You flat-footed?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're going to buy a shoe, it should be a nice, sturdy shoe with arch support.
My perception, it is a nice, sturdy shoe.
It's a piece of crap. Lasts forever.
I still have my first pair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I've seen them, too. They look like somebody pooped on them.
Pooped on them?
Pooped on them.
What?
Like poopy shoes.
Now, that wasn't the question Andrew asked. It wasn't about your Christmas bonus, John. It was about overindulging kids.
Right, but the but then he went on about how much money they spend on their kids.
Right.
With the grandma and them and all that, $600 each. And I said, I can see we don't do that, and I don't think it's right either. But I could see people that my experience is that they he's talking about that they could probably afford that amount of money. Obviously, they're spending all this dough. And he says he loses the battle with the wife, but I see people that are overindulging their kids and they can't afford it.
I see. Very good.
And they need to either have the discussion with their kids that, you know what, it's not about all this, or they need to start saving way ahead of time for the overindulgence. I can't tell somebody else what to do. That's their fucking life, how they want to do it. But for me, no, I don't. We don't. We try to keep it to a minimum. But yeah, we got him the world tour, the Wii Guitar Hero world tour.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a combo gift, and it's about $189, and that was it. The rest was little stocking stuffer shit.
Stocking stuffers.
You know.
Yeah. Right on.
I got an iPod, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally.
Nice.
I am very impressed with it. Very impressed.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Andrew's minute number three. Ready?
Number three.
Here we go.
John and Scott. Listening to Scott talk about string theory reminds me of an excellent BBC drama called Einstein and Eddington. Scott appears to be playing the part of Sir Oliver Lodge, a Cambridge academic in charge of the college and its spending. Nobody would believe that Newton's laws could be challenged or overturned. They were set in stone. Arthur Eddington, played by David Tennant, the current Doctor Who, sought to prove Einstein's theories. He was a lone crusader. There was nobody out there supporting his belief. But he challenged everybody and managed to find a way of proving Einstein's, at that time, very quirky theory. Do you see the parallel? Just because nobody's found proof right now for string theory doesn't mean it might not be right. However, I will concede that proving conclusively that something is wrong is very difficult. How do you prove conclusively that God doesn't exist? And maybe that's why atheists have a tough time. They have to prove he doesn't exist, much like string theory. Have a go, Scott. See if you can do it.
Oh, I knew that was going to tool you up, man. No. I could hear it.
The basic premise, though, is, and we've already heard all my rants on string theory, right? We don't need to hear those again. But the thing about string theory is it doesn't make any predictions that can be proven or disproven. So in that case, it is like saying that God exists. Like, okay, God exists and there's 11 dimensions at the subatomic level. You can't prove it or disprove it. It doesn't make any predictions. It's a theory that's not based on thought and observation. It's based on mathematics. It's a mathematical problem tacked on to unify relativity with quantum mechanics. And that's why I think it's a bunch of shit. Until they can come up with something that makes a prediction that can be tested, it's a fairy tale to me. It's not even science. So that's how I respond to that question.
I see.
Now maybe they'll come up with something 100 years from now, but I can't imagine them still working on it 100 years from now. I mean, how long do you have to work on a foundation of a mathematical solution that can't be tested before you just throw your hands up and say, you know what? This is a complete waste of fucking time. Huh?
I don't know. They've been doing it with God forever. Right.
Forever. Right.
And nobody's found it a waste of time. Matter of fact, it's more popular than ever.
Well, here's the other thing is when, so Newton came out
with... So you're wrong, man.
I'm not wrong. Newton came out with his theory, right? And it accounted for pretty much everything that was visible at the time, except for Mercury. They couldn't explain Mercury's orbit. You know what? Mercury's orbit's a little bit off based on Newton's calculations. Well, what is it? Is it some other planet? Is it some other force working on Mercury that's not, it's falling in line with Newton? Einstein was the guy that totally rethought time and space and how it works and came up with the general theory of relativity, which now explains Mercury's orbit and works on bodies in the universe on a large scale, Newton's stuff still works for 90% of the calculations you want to make. But if you want to make large-scale predictions, and if you want to have a GPS that puts you exactly where you need to be, you got to rely on general relativity. So Einstein did it with thought first.
Science thought, talk with Scott.
Thought first, John.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He thought about it first. Then he applied the math. He actually had to have somebody help him invent the math. And so the thing about Einstein's theory of general relativity, it makes predictions. And the one of the first predictions that it made was, hey, there's going to be an eclipse. And based on Einstein's theory, this star that we'll be able to see during the full eclipse should be in a position that's not where it really is based on the light bending around the mass of the sun. So they set those experiments up, and it proved Einstein's theory. That was the first proof that his theory was on to something.
Very nice. Very good. That'll be in Scott's thesis.
Yes, Scott's thesis. Now, string theory, tell me one thing that string theory is testable. Not one is testable. Nothing. There's nothing testable.
Nothing?
You might as well say a flying spaghetti monster is responsible for 3 trillion parallel universes. It doesn't make any. It doesn't mean anything. It falls outside the bounds of science, and there you have it.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Yeah, I'm positive.
All right.
What do you got? What do you got?
I don't know. I'm just saying that maybe the theory of relativity is just too simple.
It's actually very complex. From what I understand, it's some of the most complex mathematical stuff. In the history of mathematics.
Well, then I think it's time to move on, you know? It's time to move on to something more challenging.
Well, yeah,
challenging.
They're always saying keep it simple. But the thing about Einstein's general theory of relativity is it hasn't failed. Just a month ago, they had another, based on technology, they were able to make an observation that added further proof to general relativity. The one thing that general relativity has a problem with is it cannot describe what happens at the Big Bang. So that's where all this unification comes from. Well, we need a unifying theory that can explain quantum mechanics on a small scale and general relativity on a large scale. And string theory is what they've come up with, and it's not testable. It's outside the bounds of science. It's a waste of time.
There you have it.
There you have it.
As Tony would say.
Listen.
So listen. So there. That's it. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Andrew's been at number four.
Number four.
Fourth and last one.
Wow.
4 minutes.
John and Scott, you ask a very important scientific question, and I have the answer. Here's your question, followed by the answer.
So what's the
article's
the speed
based
beyond the speed of light?
186,000 miles per second.
What's the speed beyond it?
What do you mean beyond it?
Beyond the speed.
Beyond it.
Faster than the speed of light.
The speed of faster than light.
Superluminal speed.
I have no idea.
Really fast speed, faster than light speed.
It's
speed?
Really, really fast.
And now the well-known scientist Mel Brooks provides your answer.
Prepare ship for light speed.
No, light speed is too slow.
Light speed too slow?
Yes, we're going to have to go right to ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed? Sir, we've never gone that fast before. I don't know if the ship can take it.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
There you go. Ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous. Okay.
Is the speed faster than the speed of light? Ludicrous right. speed.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought there was superluminal.
What's superluminal?
I don't know.
Superluminal.
I'm looking it up.
Okay.
I thought a superluminal flight. I don't know where this comes from.
Well, the one
I read it in a book.
Another interesting thing about quantum mechanics is it says if you split an atom, and these two twin, let's call them twin electrons, right? They're twins. And you split that atom, and one electron ends up on one side of the universe, and the other electron ends up on the other side of the universe, they will still have a relationship. So if you reverse the spin of one, the other one will reverse its spin on the other side of the universe. Now, that goes against Einstein's theory that says nothing travels faster than the speed of light. So how does this information get across the universe faster than the speed of light? It happens instantaneously.
Here's from Wikipedia. Faster than light. Also, superluminal or FTL. Communications and travel refer to the propagation of information or matter faster than the speed of light. Under the special theory of relativity, a particle that has mass with superluminal velocity speeds needs infinite energy to accelerate to the speed of light, although special relativity does not forbid the existence of particles that travel faster than light at all times. Tachyons. What's a tachyon?
Never heard it.
On the other hand, what some physicists refer to as apparent or effective FTL is the hypothesis that unusually distorted regions of space-time might permit matter to reach distant locations faster than what it would take light in a normal in the normal route through still moving subliminally subliminally through the distorted region.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yeah, I don't know. I read it in a book. I read a book. I can't remember if it was Isaac Asimov or what. It was about the Earth was turning to shit, and there was a bunch of satellites out there, space stations, and there was these very smart scientists. But there was a bunch of them, you know, representing different countries. And one of them discovered a dwarf, like a red dwarf star, and they discovered a planet that was orbiting it that they thought might have support life. And they decided to travel towards it, and the only way they could get to it is if they made an engine or a machine for this a spaceship with an engine that could travel at superluminal flight because the speed of light wasn't fast enough.
I see.
Yeah. It's the first time I heard it.
Yes, very good. You know, just thinking about it now, John, I think I have another thesis I can prepare and explain why the relationship between the electrons remains, even though they can be separated over the vastness of a universe. Yes.
Yeah, just keep coming up with these ideas, and then somebody will come up with the math. And
because
then
electrons, John,
make predictions.
Time doesn't exist for an electron. There you go. There's the thesis right there.
Time
does
not
exist for an electron.
For an electron.
So the information from our perception is instantaneous. But because time does not exist, it could take an eternity for the information to get there, according to the electron. It doesn't matter because time doesn't exist. And there you have it. That'll be my 45th submission.
It'll be "Time Doesn't Exist for an Electron, But Who Really Gives a Shit Anyway" by Scott from TTN. I can't wait till that comes out.
Of course, my first thesis, The Origin of a Sphincter.
A Sphincter.
Is probably my best work.
Yeah, it is. I was amazed by the positive statements in that thesis. Nothing normative at all. All positive.
Normative.
Yes.
What does normative mean?
would be like ought to be, or it's more like an opinion.
Ought
sort
to
of,
be,
I guess.
Like applaud it.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Applaud it.
As we digress to 155.
Turning to politics, John.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard this, but can you guess what the best-selling office product on Amazon.com is this new year? Can you guess? Can you guess? Is it printer paper? Is it ink?
The iFart?
Is it new laptops?
I don't know.
None of the above. While Obama may credit the web for his successful White House run, at least one corner of the internet is voting pale in 2009. Currently leading Amazon's office products and supplies bestseller list is the Sarah Palin 2009 calendar.
Oh, my God.
Sarah Palin she has naked? Continued her quest for world domination with the 2009 calendar that has become a surprising bestseller. I saw the cover of it. It's the photo with her with the shotgun over her shoulder. That's on the cover. So the Sarah Palin calendar. I heard Bristol and her, are they married? Did she marry Todd? Or is Todd even the guy? Her daughter Bristol yeah. had the kid, right?
Yeah.
300 G's for the photos of the kid.
Oh, Jesus.
300 G's. Nice.
There's something else.
Also in political news, I don't know if you've heard this, John, but Alberto Gonzalez. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He's puzzled.
Go, go, Gonzalez.
To this day why the public frowns upon his tenure in the government. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Gonzalez asks, what is it that I did that is so fundamentally wrong that deserves this kind of response to my service?
Was he Speedy Gonzalez?
He added, for some reason, I am portrayed as the one who is evil in formulating policies that people disagree with. I consider myself a casualty. One of the many casualties of the war on terror.
I didn't know he was a Warner Brothers cartoon mouse.
He's just so overwhelmed, just like everybody in the W regime. Yeah. He doesn't see anything wrong with what he did, and he considers himself a casualty of the war on terror.
Oh, poor
yeah,
Gonzalez.
There's 4,000 dead U.S. soldiers. Those are casualties.
Yeah.
Because this fucking idiot can't get a job. He's a casualty? Oh, he's so dumb. Nobody wants to buy his stupid book, and nobody wants to hire the guy. Why would you want to hire a guy that, one, can't remember a goddamn thing?
I can't recall.
I don't recall. And some of those questions were, how did you basically run your office? I don't recall.
I just don't remember.
Let me hire that guy. I wouldn't even hire that guy for a night shift at McDonald's. I don't recall. Hey, how did all these fries get burnt? I don't recall. Well, that's great. A dumbass. And all these guys, they're going to end up the same. I mean, who's going to hire the W to do anything? You think he's going to want to go like Clinton and do like a speech tour? Who's going to hire the W?
The dummy.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Bunch of dopes. Unfortunately, we have to live through their stupidity.
19 days or whatever it is.
In my last celebrity story, John, Vice President Dick Cheney said Sunday that the United States was close to achieving most of their objectives in Iraq. Did you hear that? Just Sunday he said that.
Yeah.
That's today.
Yeah.
As he continued in his final days in office to offer a spirited defense of the W regime. So we're close to achieving our objectives in Iraq, John. What are our objectives? Do you know?
I don't know, but...
I have no idea what they are.
I can't take it anymore. I see... who is it? Harry Reid is on. Who's that guy that just got Tim Russert's job on Meet the Press?
Oh, that guy's a douche.
David Gregory.
Yeah, with the gray hair.
Yeah, the big giant head. And he was asking Harry Reid about the surge. So are you ready to admit that the surge worked? You know, and I'm like, I would have said, you know, Harry Reid goes on this diatribe forever, trying to backpedal and explain, you know, why he said that. I'm like, give him the middle finger. You guys are running the show now. Say, fuck off. You guys weren't there for us. You were there for Cheney and Bush and Gonzalez and all them. You're backing their ass up. Fuck off. The surge didn't work. The war isn't won. Oh, yeah, he said, and you also said that the war was lost. My question would have been right back to Gregory. Is the war won? If it is, why are the troops still there? Is it won or not?
Well, it's ongoing.
The war is lost.
That reminds me of the other movie I saw, Lions for Lambs. And the one thing in there, Tom Cruise does a great job, I think, as the senior. But he asked Meryl Streep, who's a reporter, he asked her a yes or no question. Do you want to win the war on terror? Yes or no? Yes or no? But that's not an appropriate question.
No,
the question
is the war on terror?
Can you win a war on terror? What is a war on terror?
Exactly.
So define that before you make me answer a yes or no question.
That's what this fucking, and they yammer on these really fucked up Democrats that just keep yammering. Don't yammer. You give them an answer and move on. You know, take one cue from the Republicans. They don't sit there and yammer on. They say shit like, so what? What's the problem? You know, shit like that. They just move on. And the next question was something like, do you regret saying that Bush is the worst president in the world? He's a dope. He's this. He's that. And Harry Reid goes, David, yeah, I've said that many times in my book, as you know. And he goes on this whole long thing. And Gregory says again, do you regret it? I would have just fucking said the first time, no, I don't regret it. I think he's horrible. I think he's put the country in the wrong direction.
I think he's horrible, and here's why. I mean, why? I don't understand the backpedal. They got no spine.
No
Pelosi,
spine at all. Pelosi, Reed.
Pieces of
get
shit.
Get them the fuck out of there. How could they be powerful? I don't know how it is that they got that powerful. I have no idea. There's so many more qualified people for those House Majority Leader and all that shit. So I just don't get it.
That's dopes. They're all dopes.
Pussies.
Should vote them all out.
Bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
Is Phil coming or not? Oh, Jesus Christ. What is that? Has anybody seen the picture on the interwebs?
The interwebs? Didn't you have the Bush Senior clip you wanted to play?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
I do.
Phil's picture on the interwebs. Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, first of all, how did she get that photograph is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's...
impossible to come by.
Yeah. How do you get a photograph like that?
We can't even get one. Every time I take a picture, my camera starts on fire.
Well, I take a picture, he doesn't even show up. I always thought he was a vampire for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. But that was a great photo.
Yeah.
Like to put that on our website.
He'll come home with his head high, having run a clean operation.
Hold on, you got to give some intro.
Sorry, this is
intro.
Come on. Hey. I'm using Vista, okay? this is the W's dad talking about how proud he is of his stupid son. And that he thinks he did fine. I don't know what everybody's worked up about. And Mike Wallace wants him to comment right at the very end about, you know, what criticisms, what would you say he did bad? And it's kind of funny what George H.W. Bush has to say about how we should find that out.
42, John, 42.
Bush 42, yeah.
He'll come home with his head high, having run a clean operation, having kept this country strong and free after an unprecedented in history attack, 9/11, and he'll have a lot to be proud of. And he can start by his mother and father being very proud of him. And we always will be.
You said earlier there's some things he could fairly be criticized for. Are you willing to tell me any of those?
No, I don't need to go into that. You can go back to your what do you call it, your Google, and you figure out all that.
Okay.
Go back to your Google.
You Google.
Figure that all out.
Read my lips. You know. Go back to your Google.
Yeah.
Is there a bigger lie ever than what he just said? A clean operation?
Yeah.
What? It's not clean operation. It's the most corrupt operation since Grant.
Yeah.
And Grant was dumb like the W. He was too dumb to know that the corruption was going on.
And granted, there was one of the biggest attacks in history, but, you know, they handed him so much information and said, look, you guys need to look into this. And it's been revealed over and over again. The CIA and FBI had information about these clowns way in advance, and they blew it. He had 9 months in office before anything even happened. They had information. The two departments didn't talk. They used to call Tenet, used to say he runs around with his like his hair is on fire, talking about Osama bin Laden, and he plans to attack with planes. And they said he's crazy. Don't listen to him. And they it was one of the biggest backpedals in history. And then he squandered the biggest opportunity to become the greatest president in history by bringing the world together against this evil that happened, which is and started this whole war on terror thing and attacked Iraq and started listing off countries that are part of the axis of evil. Which everybody abroad was like, wait a minute, man. We're not getting on that poison bandwagon. Hold on. Let's be a little more diplomatic. These guys got fucking nukes, and they're a lot closer to us than they are to you, dummy.
Well, I would imagine if you spent 2 minutes having a conversation with the W, you'd size him up and realize he's there's nothing fucking going on, and he's totally... overwhelmed by his position.
You could hear Gilligan running, you know, riding a bamboo bicycle inside there.
Oh, the other thing his dad said was this country is stronger and freer. That's couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, what a joke. And then the follow-up question I would have had, I don't know who that reporter was. Who was
Mike
it?
Mike Wallace.
Who's that, man?
It's from one of the bed songs, man.
So, relax. The follow-up question I would ask is, when he said, my son has a lot to be proud of, my follow-up question would be, give me an example.
Yeah.
Give me one example. And you would have had W. Sr. stammering and stuttering and then making up some shit. Because if you can make up that he ran a clean operation and our country's stronger and freer... after the W.
Yeah, and don't worry about him giving you another interview when he's that old.
Right.
He'll probably not get ever.
Doesn't even remember this one.
Yeah.
All right, let me get the door. Pissed off
please.
Now.
Please. Jesus.
How we doing on time?
We're up into 2 hours already.
Really?
2:12.
Yeah, we can cut some stuff out in post.
2:12.
Hey, man. What's that? Come on back.
I love that greeting.
Let's
every
go,
time.
Man.
It's a little slow on the uptake.
Yeah, he is.
Guess who this is?
Imbalance.
That's right.
I would know Imbalance anywhere, John.
They fucking rock, man. I wish they were still together. They could open up for us. Remember this song?
Of course.
Future's no longer a joke, Scott.
Yeah, it is.
You think so?
Definitely.
All right, Phil, you ready?
Of course, I'm always ready, John.
All right.
I want to, first of all, apologize for the shortness of my newscast this evening. I had a lot of Christmas decorations that I had to take down.
Was it a special report, then?
This is a TTN special
report. It is not
with
a special
Phil
report.
McCracken.
It's just a limited newscast today. I didn't have time to filter the
Reuters. You know, you
can
talk a lot in your newscast. Can we just move?
Yes, of course. I'm ready when you are,
this
John.
Is a TTN special report with Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
It's not a special report?
It is not a special report. Right. It's just a limited amount of news that
right.
I will be delivering this evening. Thank you, John. Well, thank you, Scott.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News,
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. They're for certain night.
An 88-year-old woman has her home penetrated, grabs guy by the nuts.
Oh.
Now Michael Dick faces a stiff sentence. That's right, John. Mike Dick. No relation to Mike Hunt or Mike Littoris.
Jesus Christ.
Broke into an 88-year-old woman's home in Portland, Oregon. After Dick broke into her house.
Littoris, I've never heard.
Faced down into a chair.
It's been a while.
The woman who wishes to remain anonymous and wearing only a bathrobe, reach back and grab a fistful of genitalia. Dick then ran and out of where of there without a word, taking off in a car, which was soon spotted by the cops. Michael Dick, again, no relation to Mike Hunt or Mike Littoris, a 46-year-old resident of Dersham, faces indecency, burglary, and other charges. Next story, John.
All right.
This is a PSA, John, a public service announcement. The Oklahoma Turnpike Authority would appreciate it if you would please stop throwing dirty diapers in their toll machines. Next story, John.
That's it?
That's it. That's a public service announcement for the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority. A California man was arrested on child molestation charges on Sunday morning while leaving an atheist society meeting. Just kidding. Take a wild guess where he was arrested.
In church?
Police arrested a 25-year-old man on felony child molestation warrant as he was coming out of church service Sunday morning. Police arrested Victor Davalia, 25, at the True Vine Fellowship Church on Carlton Way on Sunday morning on a felony child molestation warrant after a three-month police investigation. He was detained outside the church as he was walking out of service. Next story, John.
Docking? Come on! Who docks?
In related news, John, God wants you to leave the trees alone. That's right. Authorities say a Roman Catholic priest in Northern Virginia was killed by a falling tree while trying to clear another fallen tree from the road during windy weather. The Loudoun County Sheriff's Office says that Reverend Michael C. Riley got out of his car Wednesday to try moving a tree, and another motorist stopped by to help. A second tree then fell, striking and killing the 53-year-old priest. Kelly was a pastor at St. Francis Dave Sassal's Catholic Church in Percyville, about 40 miles west of Washington. Next story, John.
Nice.
Illinois state workers to take seminar on ethics, John. And yes, representatives from the governor's office will be speaking. In related news, Catholic priests will be counseling pedophiles for early parole. Oh. Next story, John. It appears that the most powerful computer company in the world forgot to account for leap years when writing their software. That's right, the Microsoft Zune player went kaput. But there's good news, John. Microsoft says the bug that disabled Zune players is now fixed, providing immense relief to all 12 Zune owners. Next story, John. Forget about the crappy economy. An eruption of the Yellowstone supervolcano will destroy so much life on Earth that the new economy will be based on firearms and liquor, making the U.S. and the Irish world powers. In related news, scientists say Yellowstone National Park now not likely to throw up all over North America. The recent swarm of small earthquake tremors happening at Yellowstone National Park are not likely to be a sign of a pending supervolcano eruption, as some fear, according to a top scientist at the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory. Dr. David Loebstern of the U.S. Geological Survey said Monday that the earthquake activity in Yellowstone most likely will continue for weeks and then will end without any other related activity. Next and last story, John. Victoria Beckham. John, that's right. Victoria Beckham says that she looks like crap in the morning. She's half right, and that's the news.
Oh. Thank you, Todd. I don't get that. But
thank you, Scott.
But you know, whatever.
That's all right. Sure. After I leave.
I'm sure Scott can explain it to you.
Why do you laugh like Cookie the Clown?
I don't know. I went to Clown College. Hey!
All right, his last story. What was it? Victoria Beckham says she looks like crap in the morning. And Phil said she's half right.
Yeah.
That means she looks like crap all the time. See, she's wrong about in the morning, you see. See, the joke worked for me. It didn't work for you, especially now that I had to explain it. So I wonder how many people got it and didn't get it.
Well, we're not all intellectuals like you. Yes, Mr. it was a very Smarmy.
You know, Phil comes up with those intellectual. Maybe he's just broadcasting for me. Smarmy, arrogant 4.0, somebody that can actually understand it.
Right.
And then has to explain it to everybody else.
To anything else in his life. Except cutting his little tree bits.
No, I have a new goal. I are going to write Adam Sandler's next movie. I mean, if he'll
do
gotta
be some way to make
Billy Madison and the Zohan, he'll do anything.
Right. No doubt.
No doubt, John. That wraps up 156.
I feel like I'm forgetting something. I don't know what, but shit.
Right when we turn the mics off, you'll say, God damn it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Mentioning somebody. Marty wants to have Gene Yass on the show.
Well, let's get him in here.
And I said, hey, dude. He's like, how about this Sunday? I said, that's an undertaking. It's fucking...
Plus, you're struggling with Vista as well.
Yeah, but it's four band members. And
four of them?
Yeah. There's two guitar players, a bass player, and a drummer. And Marty sings. So we'll have to have four mics. We have guitar and bass, but we have to add another guitar. I don't even think I have enough mics. I only have three.
Well, that's fine. They don't all sing, right? Oh, you mean for the...
For the show.
For the interview segment.
And then I only have like three pairs...
I have a mic.
Two or three pairs of headphones.
I have a mic.
You do?
Tell Marty to bring headphones in.
Yeah, I don't know if they have them.
Well, they have to have headphones. Come on.
Oh, yeah, they do. I think they do. But they're probably not all the same.
Are they going to be promoting like a gig? Or what are they going to do?
I don't know.
Just come in and jam?
Yeah, I guess. They've been working on a CD, I think.
So it's going to be original stuff.
Yeah, original
stuff. So it's Marty, Phil, and Brian, right? And some other guy?
A guy named Keith.
He's the drummer?
No.
Phil plays the drums?
The drummer, yeah.
And Brian plays bass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, so they want to come in and... Well, Marty does. I'm not sure he's cleared it with everyone else.
Well, he's got to do that. He's got to clear it with everyone else, right?
And it seems like whenever he puts it together, that he's the one that doesn't show up.
Oh, so three other guys will show up and Marty won't?
Yeah. Which is fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
All right. Well, that's all we have this week. 156.
156.
With John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're out of here.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.